Howdy, folks. Today, we are going to jump into James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. In the context that we are studying, that we are talking about, there has been a problem wherein these early first century Jewish Christians have been respecters of persons. We see that in verse 9, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin or are convinced of the law as transgressors. Well, here's the deal contextually. There are people that might think, I'm only doing this one thing. And you may say that's wrong, but I'm doing everything else right. Do I actually have to do everything that the Lord expects me to do? This is going to be a good study because the majority of men or women who I've met that think they know the Bible, many who are quote-unquote preachers or elders and throughout their denominational churches and those that would say we're the one church, one thing that most of them I've ever met have in common is they have a list, and the list always differs. But they have a list of things that you must do, and then this almost optional thought. Well, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, to the apostles, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, notice this, all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Well, people read verses like that, or they hear verses like that, and they already have in their mind that there's the big S and the little S. And what I mean by that is they think there are the big sins, right? And they find scriptures that have a list. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says in verses 9 and 10, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So they find lists like this, and as you probably know, and I certainly see this a lot, there are people that will go back to the quote-unquote Ten Commandments. You know, there's hundreds of Old Testament commandments. And many of them still apply today, but there are some, like keeping the Sabbath, that doesn't apply today. But not to get too far off point, they'll find a list. Don't do this. And they'll say, these are the things that matter most. I've had people over the years ask me, can you put together a list of everything that I'm supposed to do to please God? And I say, well, you already got one. You just have to handle it correctly. It's Genesis through Revelation. We're to live by every word of God, Jesus said, Luke 4 and verse 4. Now you've got to rightly handle it. You've got to rightly divide it. Paul told the evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study, which means to be diligent. Understand that. Show thyself approved, a workman, butchered the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to rightly handle it. There are scriptures that are very much applicable to some people that aren't to others. For example, just to be simple and clear, the qualifications of an elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. Never apply to any woman. And there are certain things, say, for example, a man who isn't married. Well, he's not even going to bother needing to know what he needs to do to be an elder, because one of the qualifications of an elder is to be the husband of one wife. A man that's married that doesn't have children, don't bother, because you have to have faithful children. So you see, those scriptures will apply to certain people and not to others. So we have to rightly handle the word of God. We've got to handle it properly. Having said that, let's come back to this list idea. When I talked about 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, You didn't read anything in there that said, and the Christian that does not grow. And this is the problem with the list mentality. People that create a list mentality, they're inevitably going to miss something because they're not considering all of God's word. An instruction in 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, does that mean I need to grow? You know, a lot of people who think that they're Christians have not grown in the faith. They may say, I've not committed idolatry or adultery. I've not stolen. I've not murdered. I've not lied. But listen, if you've not grown, then you've transgressed. And then that person may say, no. The congregation I'm at, it's always first principle teaching. Look, 2 Peter chapter 3 has nothing to do with the person teaching you or the people teaching you. It is the instruction that applies to individual Christians. I need to grow. You need to grow. And we need to do that independent of one another. What I need to study, just to give you an example, I'm an evangelist. So I definitely have more time in 1 and 2 Timothy than probably the common Christian who studies on a regular basis does, because those are letters written to evangelists. I know them. They're a blueprint of what my life is supposed to be like, what my teaching is supposed to do. When I'm studying parables, I'm not only looking at the lessons of parables, but I'm looking at how Jesus taught, how he articulated things. And then when I'm thinking about that, I'm looking at the audience. I'm seeing his shift in how he spoke to one group of people versus others. I apply teaching principles that aren't just directly stated in the scriptures. Others who aren't spending their time doing the work of an evangelist aren't going to pay that kind of attention to those types of things. Because for me to grow is different than for you to grow. But then the person may say, yeah, but to grow, it means I've got to study my Bible. I hate Bible study. Well, do you know, it's going to be a shame how many people might have not violated anything in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And might lose their soul over that one principle right there. Could you imagine being married and looking at your spouse and saying, I know we're supposed to grow in our relationship, but I hate talking to you. I don't want to know anything about you. I hate it when you talk. When you talk, all I hear is blah, 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 blah. Wow, right? Do you know that part of the growth process of a Christian includes the desire for the word of God? 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So with these things in mind, and I'm just trying to get you prepared for what we're about to see in James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, that it's not about creating a list of I must do this, I can do that, and this is not as important. It's about knowing the will of the Lord and doing all of it. In the context, going back to James chapter 1, talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And as we go forward in James chapter 2, when we get down to verses 14 through 26, we're going to see that faith without works is dead. So James 1, 18 through James 2, 26, they're side points, not being respecters of persons, not exalting the rich over the poor brother, etc. Then what we're going to talk about next week, having mercy. But the greater context is about doing God's will completely, fully, wholly. Not just knowing it, but put it into practice. So James 2, verses 10 through 12 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, before we proceed, every time I've ever taught this text to people who come from other groups, religious groups, or churches that say they're the one church, they're the New Testament church even, people that speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent when the Bible's silent, it has amazed me how many people don't know that verse. And those that have known it, they say that's talking about the Old Testament. Oh, wait. Notice verses 11 and 12. "For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Then verse 12, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." See, it's not about the Old Testament law, and we're going to break that down a little bit more as we go forward. But if you've been following our study in James, you already know that language, perfect law of liberty, because we talked about it when we looked at James 1:25. So let's think about this. I don't know about you. Right now, I'm not necessarily a buffet person. It's been a long time since I've been to a buffet, but I used to really enjoy all-you-can-eat buffets. Why? Because I like to focus in on the buffet, on the fried chicken. I like to focus in on some of the choices of potatoes. I like to focus in on whatever thing that they had that I don't have at home very often. And I got to pick and choose. I'll eat this and I'll eat a lot of it, and I'll stay away from that. Well, God's word is not a buffet. Never has been and never will be. God has never been pleased with people who want to pick and choose what they want to obey. Let me take you on a journey real quick here. From the book of Genesis, and we'll go forward. We'll look at, 10 plus verses. So let's just start with Genesis 6:22. You've heard of this guy named Noah. How was Noah pleasing to God? Genesis 6:22 said, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." In the very next chapter, Genesis 7 and verse 5, "Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." You see, not just, "I'll do this part, Lord, but I'm not up to that." All of it. Under the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 5 verse 32, "You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left." Deuteronomy 27, 26. "Cursed be he that confirmeth not to all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen." And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 8, says, "It shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out of the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day." Look at what Moses told them there. Repeatedly in that context, do all. After Moses dies, Joshua leads the children of Israel into the land that was promised them in Joshua 1:6-9. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So to Joshua, you're going to lead the people. Do it according to all that Moses commanded and meditate in that law. This is early on. This is before there's judges in the land. This is before there's kings in the land. This is early on. This is before they inherited their land. They're still meeting in the tabernacle. They're still meeting in the tents that they set up and tear down as they travel. God unwaveringly to this point, from the days of Noah, all the way through into the giving of the law of Moses and after Moses' death, do according to all. And by the way, I could have started with the Garden of Eden, and given an instruction and disobeyed that, but I think most people are probably familiar with that. So if we fast forward, you go through the judges, you go through the kings, and over again, there were those that did some of God's will, but were punished for not doing all of God's will. Some that did away with some parts of idolatry, but not all of idolatry. And after the 10 tribes were taken into Assyria and done away with the Lord, he put them away. He divorced them because of the spiritual adultery which they had committed. Benjamin and Judah are left. Jeremiah the prophet says in Jeremiah 7 and verse 23, this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. What's Jeremiah teaching? The same thing that Moses taught. The same thing that God told Joshua. The same thing that Noah did. Jesus comes into this world. The law of Moses was not fully done away with until the cross, and then it even was followed by those who weren't taught the law of Christ yet. But Jesus made this statement, Matthew 5, 18 and 19, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That's the two smallest details, marks, in the Hebrew language. That's like saying the little dot on an I, right? Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus continues with the do it all as he's chastising hypocrites. In Matthew 23, 23 and 24, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. So it's don't pick and choose. Now, I talked earlier about the commission to the apostles, where after they teach and baptize, they're to teaching them to observe all things. Remember that? Matthew 28, 20. So Jesus stays consistent with what we have seen so far in our looking at these scriptures going all the way back to Noah. Well, he continues, and the new covenant continues. Luke 11, 42 is much like Matthew 23, 23 and 24. Where he says, woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, pass over judgment and love God. These you ought to have done and not leave the other undone. After Jesus ascends into heaven and the apostles are his ambassadors carrying his word into the world and teaching, Paul the apostle writes Timothy the evangelist. And he says in 1 Timothy 5, 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Pretty simple, right? 2 Timothy 1, 13, hold fast the form that is the pattern of sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Later in that letter, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And hey, let me stop here for a minute. Those scriptures that Timothy knew weren't the New Testament. They were the Old Testament scriptures. And the Old Testament scriptures are still useful in making one wise unto salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, while we may not be under the law, it's still there to learn from, Romans 15:4. Verses 16 and 17 brings this into very clear terminology. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those people that want to isolate their Bible study to certain books, they're missing that all scripture is profitable. You know, even when you're reading through the genealogies, you might say, this is a boring read. I won't disagree with you there. I can't pronounce half the names even after I learn the pronunciation. I forget it almost immediately thereafter. And you can read chapters and chapters of genealogies. And what's the point here? There's a lot of points there. That God made a promise to Abraham that through his seed, and you can see that through the genealogies, that God promised a land to the seed of the children of Israel, and you can see that he carried out that promise through the genealogies. You could see meticulous record keeping that God desired so that the people could prove, you know, they're not to move those ancient landmarks, prove that this is there. And then you could think back to New Testament instructions like prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. God's always a God that says, show me, prove it, show people, prove it. There's always a lot to learn, even in the details that you may think are just so boring and so time consuming, but it's all part of a greater pattern. And you learn the mind of God and seeing how he communicates. All scriptures are profitable. To deny that is to offend all. James 2:10, right? And 1 John chapter 2, and this will be the last one that I use. We could have used plenty more. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walks. So to know and do and imitate not only what he says, but how our Lord lived. Think on that as we go forward. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point. Not just you committed idolatry or adultery. No, all of it. James is clear. He illustrates it. You know, earlier where I said 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, I didn't do this, this, and this, but you didn't grow. Well, the illustration that James used is he said, don't commit adultery and also do not kill. If thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art a transgression of the law. You can't just say, I didn't break anything. The point is, once you break one point, sin is transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. One point makes you a sinner. Even when you have two separate instructions, both under the law of Moses and Christ, thou shalt not kill, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 17. Verse 18, thou shalt not commit adultery. They're two separate instructions. And Romans 13 and verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. Then it goes on, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. There be any other commandment is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is so simple. You can't look at Romans 13, 9 and say, I've got to commit adultery, I've got to kill, I've got to steal, I've got to bear false witness, I have to covet, and that would make me a sinner. No. No. If you do one, you are a transgressor. And once you are a transgressor, 2 John verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Once you transgress in one point, you no longer have a relationship with the Father or the Son. You are now apostate. You have now fallen. And that is if you ever initially obeyed. I want you to consider, there's a lot of people in this world that think they're Christians, but they haven't done what the Bible teaches you need to do to become a Christian. And listen, I'm not going to give you a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 step plan of salvation like as is often done, because even when you look at scriptures that seem surface-wise to be very simple, like, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. There are people that hear but don't hear. In fact, not long ago, down here in a class we have, we're going through the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings, and we spend an hour and a half in our studies, and we were talking about Revelation 2 and verse 7, and similarly, this is repeated to every church addressed in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and it's, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, you know, people will say, well, I heard you, but no, hearing isn't just as simple as I heard the words coming out of your mouth. Did you understand them? Some people don't get this. I want you to hear this. Listen with your ears. Understand with your mind and your heart. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In the parable of the sower, the seed hasn't been planted in the heart of an individual if you don't understand it. You can hear it, but you don't understand it. My daughter, Taylor, is in her 20s. She is on the autism spectrum, classified as mentally retarded. She has the mind of a 2.5 to 3.5 year old child. Unfortunately, doesn't have the body of one, but has the mind of one. There are things that she can repeat back to us. And by the way, she knows how to pray. But she doesn't understand a bit of what's coming out of her mouth. She has heard. Sometimes she pipes up and sings when the saints are assembled. And it's kind of interesting. It's sometimes a little bit distracting because she doesn't necessarily know all the words. In some songs she's less familiar with than others, and she kind of makes up words as she goes. And it's kind of hard to sit next to her and not chuckle a little bit. All of you who might be listening to this podcast that sit around us, you can probably relate. But she knows the words. She knows the words. But if you were to talk to her about the meaning of those words, it's not there. Some people can repeat things to you, but they don't understand them. They can't explain it. Hearing the word of God, just that first measure, before anybody ever who is a lost person will be able to have their sins washed away in baptism, they first have to hear the word, and that includes understanding it. It also includes the word being the truth, because we obey doctrine. You obey from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you, Romans 6:17. False doctrine doesn't create Christians. Well, there are people that are incorrectly taught about Jesus, incorrectly taught about his death, burial, and resurrection, incorrectly taught about his body of the church. And they may go through various quote-unquote steps to salvation, and they go down in the water, and they come up a wet sinner. And then that person goes on thinking that they're a child of God. No, they're not. So you see, maybe you're out there and you're thinking, oh, I've never thought about James 2:10. I've never heard about James 2:10. I got to ask you the question, Are you sure you're even a Christian? Do you even know what that entails? Could you explain from the scriptures what a person must do to become a Christian? Did I just give you information that you never considered? Well, what do you think that means about what you were taught initially? Whosoever keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Think about the broad application of that verse. Maybe you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. Maybe you believe he died, buried, and was risen on the third day. What if you've not repented of your sins? Majority of religious groups out there and teachers out there teach you that repentance, the way the Bible teaches, it's impossible because they say everybody continues to sin. Well, that's not biblical repentance. If you've never repented, how'd you become a Christian? Because repentance comes before one is converted. In fact, Acts 3:19 spells that out for you. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You see, it's imperative that we know God's will and that we don't trust those that may teach, because they may be teaching us something false. And some of them, though the majority of them that teach false doctrine, all the ones I've ever met, they know better than what they teach. But let's even give somebody the benefit of the doubt and say they don't know, that they're teaching error because they were taught error. It's not on them to get you to heaven. It's on you. Whoso keep the whole law and yet offend in one point. That's the standard. You know, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2:1-3 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which first began spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Do you know that the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not burdensome? It's not. The new covenant is much more simple in obedience, for us to be in obedience to, than the old law was. But the measuring stick, the bar, the standard is higher. When Paul preached to the idolaters in Athens in Acts 17:30, he says, at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. While the law is not now grievous, 1 John 5:1-3, it's not burdensome, the standard of judgment is very strict. Whosoever should keep the whole law, yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. If you break one point, you're convinced, you're one who is convicted, who is now a transgressor of the whole law. That standard in Hebrews 10:26-31, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, there's not another Savior coming. What is coming? Verse 27, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite it in the spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That is looking forward to that judgment. So then we come down to verse 12. So speaking and so do as they shall be judged by the law of liberty. And we're going to take a little deviation from this point when we get into verse 13, but we're going to come back to it, verse 14 through 26. It's about being doers. What are we talking about? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 8. If you have respect of persons, you commit sin or convince the law as transgressors. You cannot be somebody who is going to practice partial Christianity. You can't obey some of the Lord's will. You have to obey it all. Remember when we talked about in the very first chapter, James 1, 21 through 25, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's to do. And we talked about the law of liberty in James 1:25, so I won't repeat all of that. If you recall, we looked at how the old law was a law of bondage. We studied that from Galatians 3:15 through 4:7, and we looked at other scriptures. So if you're sitting back wondering about that phrasing, I'll just refer you back to when we talked about James 1:25 in our podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, you can go back in the podcast and look at that, or you can go to wordsoftruth.net and pull that up. I don't want to reteach for those who are meticulous in following the podcast. I don't want to reteach things that they already know and be overly repetitive. The law of Moses was the law of bondage. The law of Christ is the law of liberty. Jesus makes it easy on us. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That simple. So James is not teaching them that they have to obey the law of Moses. If he did, then the book of James would be a false document. You know, the churches of Galatia, they were going backwards. And that is a multiple group, multiple congregations in the area of Galatia. The book of Galatians is written to the churches of Galatia. They were going backwards. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, notice this. Just to show us the law of liberty, we're not talking about the law of Moses. We're not talking about you got to go back and obey the law of Moses. Again, there's a lot to learn from the law of Moses, but it's not our law. Galatians 5, 1 through 4, if we go backwards, and we start telling people that they have to obey the law of Moses like some of the Jews did in the first century. You see that in Acts chapter 15. Well, then we've fallen from grace. Galatians 5, 1 through 4 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And by the way, contextually, this is the Jews who were teaching circumcision as a commandment of God, like it was during the days of Abraham and throughout the law and the prophets of old. Chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So they're going back to the law of Moses and they're justifying what they're teaching and practicing by the law of Moses. When you do that, you have fallen from grace. If somebody today were to say, oh, I'm going to be a Sabbath keeper. And you know, there are religions that the Seventh-day Adventists, for example, that hold to keeping the Sabbath. And just a little side point, I've never met anybody that understands what it means to keep the Sabbath. Do you know under the law of Moses, if a person picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, there was the death penalty and a severe form of death penalty. In Numbers chapter 15, 32 through 36, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. They that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. They put him in the ward, that is, they put him in jail, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord, not the people, the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp, stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. So people who say they're keeping the old law, they're not. I don't know of anyone on earth that's keeping the old law. They're definitely not keeping the Sabbath holy, or they would be stoning people. You'd be seeing on the news somebody else died of being stoned by the whole community that they're a part of. But let me come back to my point. If you were to go back and pull the law of Moses up as your standard of authority, then you have fallen from grace. The way you need to use the law of Moses, because it is profitable. Remember what we looked at in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. You use it to learn from it, like Paul illustrates in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and following. He goes back and he shows the law of Moses. And many times, Jesus did it, Paul did it, where, you know, quoting from Isaiah 29, you know, this people's heart is wax gross. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus did it, Paul did it. We should do it today because there's still relevant information there, but it's not our law. We're not going to go to it as our standard of authority. We who are in Christ Jesus are to speak and do according to the law of Christ. And for those that think, well, we're not under a law, maybe you've studied the book of Romans. And you know, the book of Romans, when the book of Romans is saying faith, not law, it's talking about the system of faith that is in Christ versus the law of Moses. Because in the church in Rome, you had Jews who were guilty of exercising the law of Moses as a standard of authority. If you're unclear on the fact that we're under a law, listen to this. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, notice this, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're under law. It's the law of Christ. And as such, we need to allow that word to dwell in us, and we need to act and speak accordingly. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spirit songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you've received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God give, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Every aspect, every point, not offending in any single thing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. I am planning on talking about verse 13 next week and isolating it by itself. It may not be a very long podcast, but that is my goal, because I don't want to start jumping into verses 14 through 26 till I have a little bit of time to think about what direction I want to take and as far as what verses to group together and how we're going to go about that in our study, because verses 14 through 26, one of the predominant religions in this world that falsely proclaim a Jesus that you don't read in the Bible is that is formed of Calvinism. You know, all the Baptists that are out there, the Lutherans that are out there, the Presbyterians, most of these community churches or different things, they all have forms of Calvinism in them. Churches of Christ, modern day churches of Christ, have a surprisingly amount of Calvinism that they teach. I think it's a lot because they use commentaries by Presbyterians and Baptists, and that language becomes part of it. I know for sure a lot of the books, song books that exist in a lot of churches have Calvinism in them. Think about Amazing Grace. That grace I received the hour I first believed. Well, there are believers that were never saved. Go read John chapter 8, 31 and following. Their people are 30 and following, those that believe Jesus temporarily. But Jesus told them to continue, and they said, we're not in bondage to any man. We're Abraham's seed. Jesus ends up calling them of their father, the devil. So there's a lot of examples like that. But that's rooted in Calvinism. So we're going to spend some time in James 2, 14 through 26, talking about justification, talking about works, talking about faith. And I think that it'll be a very good study because really, if you were to have anybody that's honest read James 2, 14 through 26, faith without works is dead. Faith and works are inseparable. Can't even have faith without a work because you have to first hear, like we talked about earlier in this podcast. So before I get ahead and start teaching some of that, I'll just leave you with the thank you that you have listened. If you have questions, hey, don't hesitate to get a hold of me. I'll set aside the time. We can talk. We can do it via Zoom or Skype, or we can talk over the phone, or you can just email me. You know, any way you'd like to communicate, whatever you'd be comfortable with. If you're anywhere out here in the Southwest, I'll drive even, you know, 200-300 miles to meet with you if you'd want to meet in person and sit down and study. And I'll just give you the book, chapter, and verse answers, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. I'm not a salesman. I'm just one who teaches the gospel of Christ. My ultimate goal, to get as many people to heaven as possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to His glory. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been a good study for you. I'm very thankful that you've given me the opportunity to teach it. If all goes according to plan, be back on Sunday with the next podcast. Till then, I'll say goodbye.